Today on Straight Talk Africa, Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza's decision to run for a third term has triggered massive protests and a failed coup. As a result, many Burundians are seeking sanctuary in neighboring countries. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, May 27th. I am Shaka Salih.
Well, hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the political crisis in Burundi and its regional implications.
And wow, our social media followers had a lot to say about the current situation. Coming up later, we'll reveal some of the thoughts you shared via emails, Twitter, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, opponents accused the Burundian president of violating the Arusha Accord, which mandated a two-term limit and a deal that ended a civil war in the country. The government has failed to end the protests or ease tensions in Bujumbura, the capital. We have two reports, but first, here is my colleague, Paul Sisko.
President Pierre Nkurunziza maintains a constitutional court ruling allows him to serve another term because he was first chosen by parliament and not elected by popular vote.
In line with good governance, I respect the ruling of the Constitutional Court in its entirety, respect it, and wish to inform national and international opinion that if re-elected, this will be the final term, again, as provided in the court's ruling.
Opponents say the court is biased, and his re-election bid violates the Arusha Peace Accord that ended the civil war in 2005. Since the ruling, protests have grown more violent. The president calls the protests a revolt. At least 20 people have died, and demonstrators remain very angry.
We can't be scared of death. This president wants to rule us when he's killing us. We must fight for our dignity. We must fight for Arusha Accord till the end.
What we are against is the third term and all the killings by the police. Politicians against the third term are being killed like dogs.
Thousands in Burundi's capital Bujumbura attended the funeral of murdered opposition leader Zedi Feruzi, killed by unidentified gunmen on Saturday. The UN, European Union, the US, and the African Union are calling on all parties to stop the violence, emphasizing that authorities must also respect the freedoms of expression and assembly. Many citizens fear a return to civil war and increased ethnic violence. As the protests and unrest continue, over 100,000 people have fled the country. The election that would likely give President Nkurunziza another 5 years in power is set for June 26th. Parliamentary and local council polls, delayed due to the violence, are set for June 5th. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now we move to the humanitarian side of the story, where cholera has killed dozens and infected some 3,000 Burundian refugees in Tanzania. My colleague, Esther Gizuyu Ewart, has more.
Burundi refugees who fled to Tanzania after fleeing political turmoil at home now face an outbreak of cholera. In a stadium near Lake Tanganyika, the deadly disease is spreading fast. In the past few weeks, it has killed at least 33 people in the area. The United Nations reports that over 3,000 more have been infected with cholera in the country, and there is fear of a growing humanitarian crisis.
The epidemic is still worsening. To date, some 3,000 cases have been reported. Numbers are increasing at a rate of 300 to 400 people per day, new cases, particularly in Kagunga and nearby areas.
Burundi President Pierre Nkurunziza's decision to run for a third term last month has sparked protests and a failed coup. As a result, refugees, many from the Tutsi minority, have fled to neighboring countries. The United Nations estimates that 100,000 Burundians have already fled the country, and the exodus could double in the coming months. Esther Gidu-Ewart, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Esther, for that report. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests, Reverend Aniedi Okule, Executive Director of the Africa Faith and Justice Network, a non-profit organization that educates and advocates for transformation of U.S. policies toward Africa. And John Manirakiza, a member of the Burundian diaspora in Washington, D.C. Well, gentlemen, I have to say again that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you again on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Yeah. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. But before we begin today's discussion, let's get an update on what's happening on the ground. And for that, I'm joined by my colleague, Edward Rwema, of the Voice of America's Central Africa Service, who joins us via a telephone link-up from the capital, Bujumbura. Good evening, Edward.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka Sali. How are you doing? How is Washington?
I am hugely terrific. And how is Bujumbura?
Bujumbura is a little bit calmer today, despite a few pockets of shooting here and there from different suburbs of the town. But otherwise, it looks a little bit calmer now.
Which part of the city do you call home these days, Eddie?
Well, I call home the southern part of Bujumbura, so that's specifically where I'm at.
Now, the last time I was in Bujumbura, the epicenter of problems in that country were in places like Kamenge, Chibitoke, and Musaga.
Well, right now, I wouldn't say that Kamenge is one of the epicenters of trouble, because right now it's considered a neighborhood which is a stronghold to the CNDD-FDD ruling party. But however, suburbs and districts like Kibitoke and Musaga have been the epicenter of the ongoing protests and demonstrations here in the capital, Bujumbura.
Have you been able to move out of the capital, Eddie?
Well, we haven't been able to move out of the country because most of the demonstrations are concentrated here in the capital, Bujumbura. We've heard of other demonstrations in other provinces, but we haven't been able to go there. But we have stringers on the ground that keep us informed on what is happening in those other parts of the country. But most of the demonstrations are concentrated here in the capital, Bujumbura.
Eddie, what about the talks between the government and opposition parties? Can you give us also an update of that? Because the last time I checked, it looked like the opposition had actually withdrawn from talking to the government.
That is very true, Shaka. Yes, the opposition announced their withdrawing from the negotiations that were being mediated by the UN office here in Bujumbura, headed by the UN Special Envoy Said Djinnit. But after the death of opposition leader Feruz, who led a party called an opposition party here in the capital, Bujumbura, the opposition announced that they were going to terminate all negotiations they were having with government. But yesterday, I was able to speak to one of the leading human rights defenders, Pierre Claver Mbonima, who told me that as long as the government was ready to negotiate in good faith, they are willing to come back to the table and negotiate. However, the recent reports I'm getting right now, because there was a meeting in the at the United Nations headquarters in New York, and it looks like the UN is trying to leave all the negotiations to the East African community leaders to handle that. So that is what is happening right now. That's the update we are getting. But unfortunately, we are not able to confirm whether the Burundian president, Pierre Nkurunziza, is going to be attending the heads of state summit. When I spoke today with his communications advisor, he said able to confirm or deny whether the president is going to be part of the meeting, but he said Burundi is going to be represented at the talks.
And where are the talks going to be held? Are they still going to be held again in Dar es Salaam, the harbor of peace in Tanzania?
Well, the information reaching us right now all indicate that the talks were called by the Tanzanian President Jakaya Kikwete, who also happens to be the chairman of the East African Community. So basically, I'm pretty sure they're going to be taking place in Dar es Salaam. That's very true.
Eddie, talk to us about the issue of elections that have been sort of partially postponed. Are they continuing? Is the government still adamant to hold parliamentary elections sometime next week?
In fact, what is happening here in Bujumbura, as opposition members, civil societies are on the streets demonstrating against the decision by President Pierre Nkurunziza to run again for a third term. The ruling party is busy campaigning outside the capital, Bujumbura, in different provinces, and they are determined to go ahead with the parliamentary elections that were postponed to June 5th. In fact, right now, because of the pressure from the international community to cut all the funding they had set aside to support the Burundian electoral process, now the government is saying, is arguing its population, is calling it arguing patriot Burundians to come out and support the electoral process so it can go ahead and take place this coming June, Shaka.
Now, Eddie, when we talk about the opposition, do you have any evidence, for example, to suggest that the opposition indeed is speaking with one voice? Or are there some splits? Are there some political parties which are doing business with the government?
In fact, it's very uncommon here in Bujumbura to find an opposition party that is not split. Most of the parties here, be the Frodebu Party, be the Uprona Party, be other small parties, are all split. They are parties that are aligned to the government or are working with the government. And there are also other parties that split that are not recognized by the current government. So when you say that if the opposition can speak without one voice, I would say it's very, very difficult to confirm, because what we see on the ground, it's divided.
Now, if the government goes ahead and holds the election, have you seen any evidence to suggest that there may in fact be some external observers?
Well, right now, given the fact that all reports coming out of the international community indicate or don't support the current move by the government to go ahead with the elections, there's a likelihood that we will not see so many countries sending in electoral observers to come and observe these elections, which most of the international community are considering illegal, which the international community is calling for or is urging to have them push for some time, so that the opposition can also prepare themselves to go ahead with elections and campaigns.
Now, given that the parties, of course, as you say, are split across the board, and I'm sure you have been able to move around the capital of Bujumbura and talked with a lot of people, what sense do you get when you talk to some of these people? Do you get some people who are supportive of elections, and those, of course, who say, no way?
You'll definitely get mixed feelings when you speak to individuals here in the capital, Bujumbura. But one thing I would tell you, that Bujumbura is known to be against the current ruling government, and most of the people here, they will tell you that they're not ready yet to go into an election until the current president stands down, and probably his party chooses another person to be the flag bearer of the ruling party. But on the other side, you will also hear people who are telling you that Nkurunziza is legitimately allowed to stand again for another term, since they say that the current constitution says that he's supposed to be voted twice through universal suffrage.
Now, Ndugu Eddie, talk to us about your job. How is it like to work downtown Bujumbura? Do you run into a lot of problems?
Well, we haven't gotten into any problems, but there is always threats from the police because most of the time they don't want us to take pictures of them either shooting those live bullets, shooting tear gases to the populations. So most of the time there is just threat, them telling us not to follow them whenever they are going. But besides that, besides the neighborhoods where the protests are going on, the other side of the city is a little bit calmer. But again, you will see a huge presence of police, a huge presence of army. Most of the roads have been blocked. So commuting within Bujumbura is a little bit harder for somebody who is used to a very vibrant and entertaining Bujumbura.
Well, I'm afraid time happens not to be our best ally, and for that, we'll have to stop right there. I'd like to thank Eddie Rwema of Voice of America's Central Africa Service for sharing his perspective with us. He joined us from the capital, Bujumbura. Take care of yourself, Eddie. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website, Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Let's take a quick look at a timeline of Burundi's political instability. On June 2014, President Pierre Nkurunziza hints that he might seek a third term, despite opposition complaints that this would be unconstitutional. On October 2014, Burundian opposition leader Léonce Ngendakumana is sentenced to a year in prison for slander. He calls it a political trial ahead of the 2015 election. In January of this year, the ruling party Senator Richard Nimbashi issues a press release opposing Nkurunziza's third term, and he was immediately expelled from the party, the Senate, and his position at the Land Commission. In February, the National Intelligence Service issues a memo warning President Nkurunziza against an attempt to seek a third term. On March 3rd, increased social discontent, including a general strike over the high cost of living, deepens political tensions over President Nkurunziza's potential third term. On March 14, the CNDD-FDD Council of Elders, the highest body of the party, met in the presence of President Nkurunziza and overwhelmingly rejected his third-term bid. Between March 21st and March 23rd, the Electoral Commission reopens voter registration.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your heart and soul, can you pledge to the Ghanaian people that under no circumstances during your presidential tenure are you ever going to abuse the Ghanaian constitution and be tempted, for example, to engage in these constitutional political shifting goalposts?
Shaka, let me tell you, you are 6 months too late. I swore that oath to the people of Ghana when I was sworn into office on the 7th of January this year. And I always remind myself of the very sacred obligation and vows that I've undertaken and made. Yes, this is something that I cannot ignore. Constitution guides us. And if you want to build a better Ghana, if you want to leave a legacy, the Constitution is the last thing that one should attempt to ignore or circumvent.
There are a lot of your colleagues when it is about time to end their terms, basically what they do is do what some characterize as engaging in the shifting of political constitutional goalposts. Is that something that you could even remotely think about?
Our Constitution forbids it. Our people won't allow it. And I don't want it. So the answer is no.
That was the late Ghanaian President Professor John Evans Atta Mills, followed by Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. They both categorically emphasized the importance of upholding, respecting, and defending their country's constitutions. Welcome back. And today, of course, we are talking about the political crisis in Burundi and its regional implications. Our two distinguished guests are Reverend Aniedi Okule, Executive Director of the Africa Faith and Justice Network, a non-profit organization that educates and advocates for transformation of U.S. policies toward Africa, and John Manirakiza, a member of the Burundian diaspora in Washington, D.C. Well, gentlemen, of course, you are welcome again on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Your reaction, Reverend, you just listened to two important African leaders. Unfortunately, Professor John Evans Atta Mills left us several years back, basically returning back to his creator. But he was adamant about really this business of changing constitutions so as to personally or politically benefit him.
Yeah, I like the word he used. He said, he used the word sacred obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And from my profession, my standpoint, that is very weighty.
Sacred.
Yeah, very sacred. He used the word sacred obligation. And so what many presidents don't realize, African presidents, that when they raise their hand and swear to uphold the constitution of the country and protect the people, they are making a sacred oath. You know? And so to try to wangle around that is striking fundamentally at the core of what that office is. So for somebody to try to change, it's like me, I said, okay, I'll try and rewrite the scripture so that I can have my own way, with the way I want.
Mm.
That's what the constitution of the country is, in a way, sacred. Except when the people decide on their own accord to say, okay, these things don't work as we thought, we change it, you know? But for some, an individual to begin to manipulate that sacred obligation entrusted to him by the people,
mm-hmm.
it's really a breach of trust of the people.
But some of these people or some of these rulers, when they change constitutions, they actually claim that they are doing it because they are succumbing to the pressure of the people.
I will say, show me one.
Oh, there will be very many people because...
No, I mean, they say that, okay. I mean, that's the rhetoric we hear. But, you know, do they really? They don't. I mean, okay, let's take the case in point here. You know, in Burundi, we are talking about the people are up in arms. You know, they run down. The bishops, the Catholic bishops, representing a vast majority of the people in the country, come together and said, don't do it.
Mm.
You know, even people within the same party say, don't do it. And the person still try and wangle around. So that's what I'm saying. Show me somebody who truly, truly is succumbing to the will of the people. There is none.
What about you, John? You are a Murundi.
Yes, sir.
I'm a Murundi. Patriotic Murundi.
Yes. Yeah, in addition to what Reverend just said about the sacred nature of this obligation, Sharon Johnson talked about the people don't want it. And remember, these documents, most of the time, you can see all the documents, the U.S. Constitution start with "we the people."
Yes.
And even in Burundi, the Constitution say "we the Burundian people," according to the Arusha Accord, we are deciding such and such and such article of the Constitution. That's where they established the limit, term limit. So if you want to go against the sacred vow, and you're also going against the people's wishes, and if you hear people say it's just a few people who are just doing this, but this is a national movement, although a few people just in Bujumbura maybe, but places like Bujumbura, Rirare, Bururi, Mwaro, Bubanza, people are doing the same away from media. And remember that the government has decided to shut down all the media, destroy the media so that the news doesn't go out. But and I hear from what the people are saying that this is a question of that sacred agreement. It's a contract they made between the people and their leaders that they are going to hold right to the Constitution. And that's why it's very sad to see what is happening in Burundi, because we had so much hope within that framework of Arusha that says, now, from now on, the people are going to live together in peace, in a very inclusive way, in having a dialogue when they have problems. And now we have a specter of a civil war, which is really heartbreaking.
Now, John, let's be very clear here. I have seen the Burundian Constitution. I have also seen a decision made by the judges of the Constitutional Court. There were seven, but it is six who actually unanimously sided with incumbent President Nkurunziza. Mm-hmm. Under no circumstances, frankly, would you convince me that Nkurunziza here is trying to shift the constitutional political goalposts. In fact, what he's probably doing is violating the spirit and the letter of the Arusha Accords of 2000.
Yes, but remember,
but not the Constitution. They are not changing the Constitution.
No, the Accord, Arusha Accord, actually is very specific in its second protocol where they talk about elections. They say, and I think it's Article 10 or 11, 9 or 10, they say, this is in 2000, they agree that the first post-transition election, the first president of the post-transition election will not be elected directly. Mm-hmm. He will be elected by Congress and the Senate together combined by two-thirds.
Is that the Constitution or the Arusha Accord? That's the Arusha Accord.
And then the Constitution says this.
Yes.
The Constitution says this. According to the Arusha Accord, this is the preamble. It's like the U.S. Constitution says, we the people are giving the legislator this right. So it's the people who decided that the Constitution is have to be from Arusha.
Yes, but let's face it, I am not a lawyer. I am not certainly a land friend. I am not a judge. Am I a judge of the Burundi Constitutional Court. Mm-hmm. The Burundi Constitutional Court has spoken.
Under duress.
We don't know. We don't know, because if you say under duress, maybe we should look across the world. Because the last time I checked, in the year 2000, we had a problem here. Florida 2000, I'm sure you have heard about it.
Did any judge run and become a refugee?
Well, wait a minute. We did have George W. Bush winning the election being disputed. And in fact, the dispute was in Florida, where his own brother, Jeb Bush, was governor. I did not hear people talk about Jeb Bush being the brother of George W. Bush. If it was in Africa, they would be saying, you know what? This is what happened. After all, his brother is the governor of Florida. George W. Bush was not elected President of the United States in his first term. He was appointed by the Supreme Court of the United States of America, 5-4 verdict.